time for the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Tonight, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by teacher Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. It's gotta be Dana Rodriguez, your host.
Thank you very much, David, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're having a lovely weekend, and we also hope you can spare us an hour of your very valuable time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program, so of course we're encouraging your participation in every way possible. We hope over the course of the hour you will give us a call. We would love to hear from you. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, and literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Also want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter1, MINDSOVERMATTER1. That is the numeral 1. At gmail.com. So that is mindsovermatter1 at gmail.com. If you'd like to hear the show online, you can do that as we go over the air tonight. And that will be the live stream at kalw.org. Hopefully soon after our show tonight, the podcast will be up. That will also be at kalw.org. And a little later on, it'll be on iTunes and places like that. So all that being said, we are going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. I want to say hello to a couple of people who came up to me today at the White Elephant sale. I was working at the preview sale, as I always do in the electrical department, and sweating over the lamps, and which drove the cost down considerably. But
and when is the sale? Can you plug it?
Well, the preview sale is today, and then the big sale will be the first weekend in March, the first Saturday and Sunday in March. So
all your
very worthy. All the money goes to the Oakland Museum. So yeah, it's very worthy.
Well, you can get all your electrical cord needs served there, right?
Many other things.
Yeah,
anything electrical is in our department.
Yeah.
So as I say, we're going to start with a round of introductions, and then a round of questions. Here's the first. Kira Pace softens hands as you do the dishes.
That's wow. Fine.
That's so, quite a skill.
Yeah. So in an effort to lessen the stress for other candidates, oh, that's so magnanimous of you, Lori Fisher is happy to officially announce his non-candidacy for president in 2020. As far as he knows, he is currently the only person he knows not running for president. He prefers to be on the radio.
I do. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks the last 35 days was a tale told by an idiot full of sound and fury signifying nothing.
Right.
And boy, are you right.
And we will begin with Kira Pace.
All right. So as of a few days ago, there are 15 movies that have ever been nominated for the Best Picture Oscar whose title includes the name of a color. So three of them were recently announced and then 12 more behind that. What are they?
So they just have to be nominated, not win.
Correct.
So the color purple, obviously.
That is one of them, yes.
That was the first one I thought of. Okay. Was Blue Velvet nominated?
It was not, no.
All right.
Red Sonja?
No. And I'll add, and just for a sort of extra question, only one of them actually won the Best Picture Oscar. So if you happen to come up with a movie that was nominated and you think it was the Best Picture winner, let me know.
We should be able to get a bunch of these.
I just had to think about it for
a
while. So just only one
15.
One, but so the other 14 are just nominees.
Correct. Okay. And I'll add that I'm not looking for like interpretations of colors or anything, like no driving Miss Daisy because Daisy could be a daisy yellow or something like that. Nothing like
people,
that.
Bone people, bones, a shade of white. It's not
right, right. Okay.
Can I ask how far back this goes?
Sure. The earliest one is 1935.
Well, that's your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
There's one before that, 1934. Pardon me.
There should be some with black and white in them, I would think.
I don't think that counts.
No, they do.
They do. Those would count. Mm-hmm. Those are colors.
I'm basically the Crayola 8 plus white, gray, and the metallics. And I'm allowing purple, even though the Crayola 8 includes violet.
Was Anne of Green Gables nominated?
No.
Okay.
No.
Was there a movie called White Banners on there?
White Banners, no.
Men in White.
No, but White Banners was infinitely closer. You're so close.
Men in Black might be on there, right? But it wasn't.
And that is actually our earliest movie.
1934.
34, but it's not White Banners. But I think I know.
The White Parade?
White Parade, that's it.
All right.
And that's Belle.
All right. Nobody else would have gotten
that. That's true. And Men in Black was not nominated, right?
It was not. No, not for Best Picture.
I've gotten up with lots that weren't.
Yeah. It's possible that it got a special effects award or nomination, but no, not or
so
Best Picture.
Just do the premise of the question once more.
Sure. As of a few days ago, when three were added, there are 15 movies that have ever been nominated for the Best Picture Oscar, whose title includes the name of a color. What are they? And Dana already got the color purple and White Parade. So these span, the ones that we have left, span 1935 to 2018, when, again, three films were added.
How green was my valley?
There you go. That's the green one. Give yourself a... So our studio audience has two that are nominated this year, I think.
Okay.
Black Panther.
Yes.
And Black Klansman.
Show enough.
All right. Two bells for our audience. Very nice.
Okay. And Laura, you go ahead, too.
All right. So I will save my movie Oscar questions for a bit. This is a question about Sirius Radio, the radio that some of us have blaring in our cars, and I do. So they have over 80 stations of music. 9 of them have an individual singer's name in the title. Okay, so not there's a Grateful Dead station, Pearl Jam station, Beatles station, not that. The Springsteen channel is E Street Radio, so not that. So this has an individual name. And Dana, you'll know 4 or 5 of them, and Kira, I think you'll know all of them.
Well,
there's 9 of them.
I don't know
total.
If these are dedicated channels or not, but I mean, like, they have the Tom Petty channel.
That's one of them.
Is that one of them?
Nice. Very good. Channel 31.
And the Bob Dylan channel.
There isn't the Dylan channel. No. And these aren't special. There's a Billy Joel one, but that's going off.
So that's,
that doesn't
okay.
count. These are all permanent.
What about Michael Jackson channel?
Not there.
Really?
Yeah.
And Taylor Swift was my other guess.
She's
something
not
modern.
There.
Okay.
Yeah. It might have to do with getting the rights to it and all that. I'm not sure.
Mm.
But Tom Petty's on the list.
How many are men and how many are women?
Let's see. There are, I'll count the men. 1, 2, 3. They're all men except the one. Except
what a
the one.
Surprise.
There's one I don't know. Yeah, just because it's not a name I know, and when I...
Does this mean it's like one of those one-word kind of names of like the Deadmau5 variety?
It's not the Deadmau5 variety, but it's of a variety of a name. It's very now.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, what wouldn't you know that's nowish?
This one.
Something the kids would know.
The kids would know. We got a kid.
But, yeah. I would it couldn't be something like Sia... Because I would expect that you would at least guess that's a female.
I know. I know. So this person
all
is...
Right.
And this person's name is paired with the Somebody's Revolution. That's the...
Prince?
It's not Prince.
Is there a Prince channel, though?
There's not.
What?
I know.
Insane.
All right. Get the question.
So Sirius Radio has more than 80 channels just dedicated to music. They have 40s, 50s, 60s. They have a lot of groups. And these channels have an individual names associated with it, much like Tom Petty Radio. And that's the name of that station. The rest all have something kind of interesting. I would say 4 or 5 are really classic, famous people that everybody knows, and others are more contemporary.
In that vein, Tom Petty, since he is not with us physically anymore, mm-hmm. Are any of the other people who have these channels dead?
Yes. There are at least 2 of them are dead. And there's There's 2 who are leaning that way because they're quite old, but they're still alive. Yeah. 2 of them are definitely dead. Okay. And I would say those are the 2 most famous people on the list.
Oh, is it an Elvis channel?
There is. Right. Very good.
Well, what about David Bowie?
Not David Bowie.
Man.
Okay, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hi, Ed.
Very good. So this man, his name is Craig Cooley, spent 40 years, almost 40 years, in California prison. And he was found innocent last year because the DNA test showed up the killer who killed his girlfriend, beautiful woman, by the way, and her son was this man.
Her son was this man.
She and her son were murdered by this man. It was not her boyfriend, who was in prison for 4 years, no. 40 years, since 1978. He just was released a few months ago. And Governor Brown apologized to him. Because the DNA proved not only he's innocent, but they found the actual killer.
And so the question is, who is the actual killer?
Yes.
Is this one of the Bundy things?
No.
Okay.
That's more recent.
But is it somebody who's a notorious criminal?
Yes, recent.
Recent?
Yes.
You mean here. Like, oh, I see, like the, I know. Yeah, Golden State Killer, the Golden State...
Golden State Killer.
That's it? Oh, great.
Right.
That man killed so many people. I want everybody to Google search that lady. Her name was Rhonda Wisht. W-I-C-H-T, and her son was Donald. He murdered both of them. She was a very beautiful lady. And why our justice system is so terrible to have an innocent man spend 40 years, most of his life, in prison? What kind of district attorney that was to convict that innocent man? Okay, very quick question about my field, nuclear energy. We know about CERN. What does the LHC stand for? You know, that place where they found the Higgs particle and they make all of this high energy.
Hadron Collider.
Say it again?
Am I saying that wrong?
Large is correct.
Yeah.
What about H?
Isn't it Hadron Collider?
Hadron. Hadron Collider.
Sorry.
By the way, you know, the name was changed when I was in college a long time ago. It really was called Large Hadron Collider. But a lot of people will giggle, students will giggle, so they change it to large.
I can't imagine that's true at all. Not
true
at all.
Story. Okay, very quick. One English scientist repeated what was feared all along, that a certain experiment that may bring the end of the world, either a black hole would produce that just swallow Earth square, or what's called strange particles, can shrink the Earth into the size of 100 feet. So you can look that in the current news. Thank you. Always good show.
Thank you, Ed.
Take care. Bye.
All right. It's always something apocalyptic that he brings up.
Yeah, I know. He brings us the apocalypse every week.
All right. A couple questions. Who was the first American musician to sell 1 million copies of a piece of instrumental music?
Instrumental.
And what was that piece? Who was the first American musician to compose a piece of music that sold 1 million copies, sheet music. And
sheet music.
Yeah, it's sheet music. And what was the piece of music?
So there's no lyrics to this, right? Because it's not Alexander Ragtime Band, which sold a lot of things.
Well, John Philip Sousa.
That's a good guess, but no.
No.
Is that the right era?
I don't think I'm going to say.
All right. Scott Joplin?
It is Scott Joplin.
All right.
So the Entertainer.
No,
I don't think that became famous after The Sting, but it would have been Maple Leaf Rag.
Yeah, that was the first piece of American music to sell 1 million.
God, what year? What year was that?
Well, I think it came out in 1899.
Boy, that's really impressive. A million pieces of sheet music. Yeah.
All right. Give you something else, maybe a little harder.
That was plenty hard.
Was it plenty hard?
No, I'm sweating.
Okay. Only two Shakespeare plays are written in verse, not prose. What are they? What are the two Shakespeare plays that are written entirely in verse and not prose?
Is Troilus and Cressida?
It is not.
No.
What are the two Shakespeare plays that are written entirely in verse, not in prose?
Do they perform frequently? I think not.
Yes, yeah. One of them is. One of them is not quite as much, but yeah.
What about The Tempest?
Not The Tempest.
I'm trying to go with the ones that I've never taught. Otherwise, I would know.
How about you might have taught one of these. Yeah, I don't know. But
how anyway. About Timon of Athens?
Not Timon of Athens.
I just like saying that.
So, once again, what are the only two Shakespeare plays that are written entirely in verse and not prose? All right, second question. I came back from London a couple weeks ago, and I have a couple of London questions left over. Here's one of them. There's only one street in London that is named after a Dickens character. One street in London is named after a Dickens character. I will tell you the novel it's from, which is A Tale of Two Cities. So what is the one street in London that is actually named after a Dickens character? It's in Soho.
Well, that doesn't help. Okay.
No, but I, you know.
So I'll guess that one of the two characters I know for sure. How about Charles Darnay?
Not Charles Darnay.
Okay. You know your Tale of Two Cities characters?
I actually want to guess the name of the old lady who sat knitting, but I've lost her name.
Madame
I always
Defarge.
Lose her name.
Defarge.
Thank you. That's
Defarge,
my guess.
But, no,
but I wouldn't
that.
Think they'd have a street named after her. Mm-hmm. So the other one, I guess, is Sidney Carton.
Not Sidney Carton.
All right.
So okay. I figured that one would be too easy since he gave us the name of the novel.
So once again, there's only one street in London that is actually named after a Dickens character. And the character appeared in A Tale of Two Cities. It's a major character in A Tale of Two Cities. And the street's in Soho, the Soho district of London. So what is the name of that street? And the first question was, what are the only two Shakespeare plays that are actually written in verse, not prose? Can you name any of those? And the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ann and Stan in Crocker, Amazon.
Hi, Ann. Hi, Stan.
Hi. I have some potential answers for the movies that have colors in them that were nominees.
Please.
Okay, how about A Patch of Blue?
That's a good guess.
No.
Ooh,
okay.
That happened.
The Red Shoes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
Good for you. Good for you.
Okay, how about A Clockwork Orange?
Yep, absolutely.
Yay. And maybe Red October?
No.
Okay. I have The Green Book, but is that 2018?
It is 2018.
Oh.
Yes,
counts.
That is the third of the three.
Of this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
The most in any year, right?
Yeah.
Fried green tomato?
No.
Okay. Hate to see that. All right. Well, thank you. That's it. And I just want to let you know you can't hear when you're holding on the phone.
Oh.
Maybe you could ask the engineer.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We'll work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
They're working on it right now.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi. I'm going to turn off my radio because I couldn't hear as well. So let me do that. I don't want to be distracted. This is Pun from Oakland, and of course my Green Book and Clockwork Orange were just taken, but how about, I didn't hear if you guys said Black Panther.
We did get Black Panther, but since
okay,
you didn't hear
but,
it, you also
get it. How
Green
Was My Valley.
Yes.
Alright, I may get a fight from you folks on both of these, but The Rose Tattoo.
No.
Well, okay, I'm going to say rose is a color, but now here's the big fight,
okay.
Moulin Rouge.
I like that, though. I do like that.
And was it nominated for sure?
It was.
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was. So at least for being bilingual, I should get half a bell, no?
Okay, I'll give you Moulin Rouge, because that is actually used as a red.
Excuse me. Merci beaucoup.
All right.
I have two for you folks.
All right.
And one is movie-related. And this is, I'm quoting here, The Hollywood Reporter. Since 1980, what stars' films have grossed more cumulatively worldwide than any other star? It's over $13 billion, and this one star has been in films that have grossed more than any other star.
My first guess would be Harrison Ford.
Oh, my gosh, no.
Oh. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
Can we ask if this is a male or a female?
It is a male. Yes, you may ask, and yes, it is a male.
And has he been in superhero movies?
Yes, he has.
recently in superhero movies?
Yes, he has.
How about Robert Downey Jr.?
Again, not correct.
Yeah.
What about... Is it one of the Chris's?
No.
Okay.
All of the Chris's combined?
All of the Chris's combined.
How far back does this person's career go?
This person's career goes at least till right back to 1980, and I will say that this person is easily over 60.
Oh, so is this would this person be considered a character actor?
To a degree, I would say yes. So, but yes, is it somebody who sometimes carries films.
So is this somebody who would have appeared in all the Lord of the Rings films?
Not to my knowledge, and I would almost say for sure no.
Okay.
Because I haven't been a big fan of the Lord of the Rings, but I would like to say something about the Lord of the Rings films. Andy Serkis was in all of them, making him a three-ring circus.
Nice.
Very good.
But he's not, so it's not Ian McKellen, and it's not Andy Serkis.
Correct, it's not.
Yeah.
And
Can we ask if this is an American actor?
Totally, definitely, absolutely, demonstrably an American actor.
Mm-hmm.
I can also say, not that it's going to help you, that my younger daughter went to school with one of his children.
Well, that's a huge clue, man. Yes. That's like a giveaway.
I knew you'd love that clue.
All right, an absolute American actor who's done
someone of age.
Did this?
Would you like a big fat clue?
Yeah. Did this person actually play a superhero, or were just in superhero?
You know what? I don't know that for a fact because I don't follow the superheroes that much. My belief is, no, he did not. I'd also say this: you could bet a $20 bill on the answer.
Oh, so it's a Jackson, Samuel L.?
You got it.
Very, very nice.
Well done.
Good clue.
Well done. Well, thank you. I try my best. Nice. I do have one more for you, if I may.
All right.
Totally non-motion picture or even pop culture. In the year 2012, Lonesome George died on one famous island. All right, or island chain.
George was a tortoise.
Okay. Well, okay, then you've got half of it. But in 2019, George, who was named after Lonesome George, also died, and I want to know who or what George was.
So, all right. So, is George the not a tortoise? Is here
George? Correct. George was not a tortoise.
It's not Lonesome George Goble.
No, not the brown shoes of the tuxedo.
Very good.
So, was George the last of their species?
George was the last, to everyone's knowledge. And George, I'll give you the giant clue, shared a very basic feature with Lonesome George.
In that they were the last male and they could not find
that
a female?
That they both were, but I'm going something beyond that.
So is this, instead of a tortoise, it's a turtle kind of thing?
Correct. No, okay. Not a turtle.
Not a turtle, okay.
Not a turtle.
Something with a shell?
That is correct.
As in perhaps a crab?
That is not correct.
Snail?
A snail is correct. Yes.
That's correct.
George died in Hawaii at the age of 14. So well done.
All right. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you, for a very entertaining show.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
And Kira, I believe it's your turn.
All right. Here's a quick question. The name of what Academy Award-nominated movie is made up of the title of an Academy Award-winning movie plus the name of a world capital?
So one currently nominated.
I didn't say currently.
Oh, okay.
No. Just
one time nominated.
Since the beginning of the Academy, okay. Nominated.
So when you say the Academy Award movie, you're implying that it won Best Picture?
There's an Academy Award nominated movie did not win, but it's made up of the name of a movie that did win plus the name of a world capital.
So it's blank, blank, blank. Paris or something.
It could be like an American in Paris, but that's not it.
Right. If
the American had won.
Right. There's something called an American in.
Yeah.
and that one, and then you had Paris, then that would totally work. But an American Inn is sort of
so we had the clue
title.
Is the world capital,
right?
In the title of the nominated film, right? American Werewolf in London.
Nope.
Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift.
No, somehow not nominated for.
But that's in the right ballpark.
Yeah.
So I can give you another thing to think about as you mull that over. So 554 films have been nominated ever for the Academy Award for Best Picture. Seven titles appear twice. What are they? And I'm not talking about like The Godfather and Godfather 2, because with the addition of a 2, that makes it a different title. I'm talking about identical titles.
Star is Born.
Star is Born is one of them.
Cleopatra.
1937, 2019. Cleopatra, also one of them. 1934 and 1963.
Ben-Hur?
Nope.
No, the first one was before the Academy Awards even started.
Oh, I thought, okay.
So, let's see. Star is Born, Cleopatra.
One of them brought up earlier by a caller.
Right. I have to think about that. How many are there?
Total of seven.
They'd been nominated.
And to be fair, one of them is not quite identical because there is the addition of a piece of punctuation.
All right. Leave it
out. It's a good question.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight, technical editor Kira Pace from Diablo Valley College, teacher Lori Fisher. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Andrew in Oakland.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. So I guess The Silence of the Lambs, Tokyo, did not.
Yeah, no.
No, not. Okay. Not as far as I know.
Okay. Let's see. I had A Clockwork Orange, but how about The Thin Red Line?
Yes.
Very good.
And I'm still on the Reds. How about Reds?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And there's still one more Red out there that I have never heard of. So this Dana should be all over this one.
Not the Red Badge of Courage.
No.
Where the red fern grows.
Did you get The Green Mile? I think that was
nice. Oh. You just did? Nice.
Okay. And that's all I have. All
right.
Question, as long as we're on movies, this is a movie that could not possibly have received any awards from anyone. it was 1976. Where in the Bay Area was the horror movie Burnt Offerings filmed?
That was the Dunsmuir House.
That's right.
Nice.
Yeah.
Easy one. Okay. Corollary question to that. What James Bond film was partly filmed in the same place?
In the Dunsmuir House.
Dunsmuir House? Oh, I didn't know that. Who was the James Bond that were... What era of James Bond are we talking about?
Roger Moore.
A View to a Kill?
Yes.
That was the one that was partially in San Francisco.
Makes sense.
All right.
And I think, you know, Tanya Roberts was maybe considered for some awards. I don't know.
Yeah, she played a nuclear... No, she didn't play Dr. Christmas Jones. So that was somebody else. Yeah, she was a nuclear physicist, Dr. Christmas Jones.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Bye. And Lori, it's your turn.
Okay, I have... I have a couple Twilight Zone questions. I was reading about the Twilight Zone, so I have two questions. Rod Serling became the narrator, as we know, but he didn't want to be narrator. He negotiated with a performer, well-known performer at the time, who wanted to do it but was asking too much money. So I want to know who that performer was. And then I'll ask another question, which really surprised me. One episode of the Twilight Zone won an Oscar, not an Emmy, an Oscar. For a reason that I can explain later. What was that? And it's a well-known episode. The title's well-known. The whole episode's well-known. So who did Rod Serling negotiate to become narrator and failed because this performer wanted too much money?
Well, can you give it some sort of hint on that? I mean, in other words, was this person better known as a motion picture actor or
this person was... This person was known as many things, including a motion picture actor and kind of...
Orson Welles.
It's Orson Welles. Yeah, right. Very good. You're doing great tonight. Yeah. And he wanted something like $10,000 an episode. The budget was more like $100 an episode.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the one that's left is there was an episode that won an Academy Award for Best Shorts Film. That's what it won
for. Oh, really?
Yeah. It was a 30-minute. It managed to fit into the Twilight Zone thing.
So was this ever actually done as a Twilight Zone, or was it just an unproduced script?
No, it was on the Twilight Zone with Rod Serling narrating it. The story was this. They were low-budgeted for the last episode, so he went out and purchased the film that had been released as a short, and then he showed it, and then it appeared on the Twilight Zone the year after. It had won the Academy Award for Short Film, but he had already negotiated the price, which was $10,000 again for the rights to show it.
He could have had Orson Welles for that.
He could have, but he didn't get it.
All right.
Yeah. And it's a pretty well-known, I won't give you any more.
Was it the How to Serve Man one?
No, okay. Not the How to Serve Man.
So, but it was a dramatic short film.
Yes.
In other words, it wasn't based on anything.
What's the name of the one where they're all like pigs at the end? They're all.
I know what you mean.
The one about beauty.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not that one.
It's not that one?
That one either.
Is there an ironic ending to it?
There is. There's a very Twilight Zone-ish ending.
The one with the glasses, where he breaks his glasses.
Also not it.
Nope.
Yeah, with the Bruges Meredith. Yeah, all good guesses.
Right. All the Time in the World. That's what it was
that's
called.
It.
That's right.
Okay.
I'll give you, it's still early. I'll give you a hint later on.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Betsy from Oakland.
Hi.
How about White Christmas is one of the movies?
Nope, I'm afraid not.
Really?
Nope. No, that wasn't nominated for Best Picture.
No.
Yeah, no.
Black Beauty?
Nope, not for Best Picture.
Oh.
Okay. Radio station's Frank Sinatra.
That's correct. Oh, seriously, Sinatra. That's the name of the station.
Yay!
Yeah, way to go.
And for the Twilight episode.
Couldn't hear you.
Are you there?
Yes, hello?
Yeah,
hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one with the gremlin on the wing of the plane for the Twilight Zone episode.
Oh, Terror at 20,000 Feet or something.
Not the gremlin one. The William Shatner one? Not that one.
No. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right. I'm going to give you a, semi-hard literary question here. There are six answers to it. A lot of literary characters are based on real people, at least in the mind of the author. And so what I'm going to do is give you the six real people that literary characters are based on, and I want you to tell me the character. Okay? So give me the literary character who were based on these six real people, okay? Number one, Nora Barnacle. Number two, Dr. Joseph Bell. Number three, Theodore Sturgeon. Number four, Truman Capote. Number five, John E. Douglas. Number six, Leon Trotsky. So who are the famous literary characters that were based on these six real people? Number one, Nora Barnacle. Number two, Dr. Joseph Bell. Number three, Theodore Sturgeon. Number four, Truman Capote. Number five, John E. Douglas. Number six, Leon Trotsky. I'll give you each one guess.
Well, I have one.
Oh, go ahead, because I've just lost the name I want.
Well, Truman Capote was in To Kill a Mockingbird, and he was Dill, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Dill what?
Dill Leibowitz.
Dill Harris.
Actually, I didn't know his last name.
Yeah. Dill Harris. Very good.
That was the only one I know for sure.
All right.
I don't, some of the people like John E. Douglas, I don't know who that person is, but Kira probably does.
No.
John E. Douglas was with the FBI.
Oh.
If that helps you at all.
Yeah, it's something.
So again, who are the famous literary characters based on these real people? Number one, Nora Barnacle. Number two, Dr. Joseph Bell. Number three, Theodore Sturgeon. Number four, Truman Capote, which was ended up being Dill Harris from To Kill a Mockingbird. Number five, John E. Douglas, who was with the FBI. And number six, Leon Trotsky.
Is John E. Douglas in, not Silence of the Lambs before that, Red Dragon? Is he the Thomas Harris FBI agent?
Yes, you're on the right track, yeah. But what's the name of the character?
Yep.
Well, the name of the Manhunter character,
yep.
Right? The cop,
yep.
Not the one played by Jodie Foster.
The one played by Edward Norton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
John. Oh, boy, he's being tough.
John, no, not his name is John. Jim starts with a J. I don't know. I'll think about it for a while.
All right, think about it. And since we're, did you have something?
Our audience had one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nora Barnacle and Molly Bloom.
Molly Bloom and Nora Barnacle, yes.
And Ulysses.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Thank you, audience. The audience is rolling up points tonight.
And let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. We're a little past halfway through the show. Go ahead, Kira.
All right. So 554 films have been nominated for the Academy Award for Best Picture. 7 titles appear twice. What are they? And we already have A Star is Born in Cleopatra, looking for 5 more. Also, as of a few days ago, there are 15 movies that have ever been nominated for the Best Picture Oscar whose title includes the name of a color. What are they? And we already have White Parade, Black Klansman, Black Panther, Green Mile, Green Book, How Green Was My Valley, which was an Oscar winner, Red Shoes, Reds, The Thin Red Line, Clockwork Orange, and The Color Purple, so we're looking for 4 more. And finally, the name of what Academy Award-nominated movie is made up of the title of an Academy Award-winning movie plus the name of a world capital?
So when you say that, it's strictly the name of the Academy Award-winning movie with the name of a world capital on it.
Correct. There are no little articles added. There's no extra A or an or anything like that.
Oh, and as far as the film and a remake being both nominated for Best Picture, how about Mutiny on the Bounty?
Yes. Right. And I didn't necessarily say remake, but basically 6 out of 7 are remakes.
Okay. All right.
And that was 1935 and 1962.
I have a Sirius Radio has 80 music channels, and 9 of them have an individual singer or performer's name in them. We have Elvis Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and Seriously Sinatra. I'm looking for the other 6.
What about Dean Martin?
He does not have a channel.
Yeah.
At least you're thinking there. I don't think he's popular
enough. Maybe not 24 hours a day.
Really. He might not have enough music. And then there was an episode of The Twilight Zone that shockingly won an Academy Award, an Oscar, not an Emmy, for the best short subject for the previous year from which it was shown. Rod Serling bought the rights to it and showed it as a Twilight Zone. It does have a twist ending. And that's all I'm going to leave you with for now.
Very few singers can hold up for 24 hours a day.
Oh, what about Avicii? No. Okay.
What's that?
For
the singer? No. Okay. But that would be like the one I don't know. Like,
right.
I don't know who Avicii is. So, yeah. Is that a woman?
No, it's
okay.
A dude.
Yeah.
Was a dude.
Okay.
All right. Who is the only Charles Dickens character to have a street named after them in London? This character appeared in A Tale of Two Cities. It's a major character. And what two Shakespeare plays, what are the only two Shakespeare plays that are written entirely in verse, not prose? What are the only two Shakespeare plays written entirely in verse, not prose? And I gave you a list of real people who had famous literary characters named based on them. For instance, Nora Barnacle was the model for Molly Bloom. Truman Capote was the model for Dil Harris in To Kill a Mockingbird. So the ones we have left are Dr. Joseph Bell, Theodore Sturgeon, John E. Douglas, who was with the FBI, and Leon Trotsky. And let's see, that is it. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Oh, okay, great. The Twilight Zone episode is Incident at Owl Bridge.
It's Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, but that's correct.
Occurrence. I didn't cheat and look it up. I just knew it by heart.
No, that's good.
And then another blue one, would it be blue? I mean, another color would be Blue Velvet?
Nope, I'm afraid not.
Wow.
I know.
And I Am Curious Yellow, of course, was nominated. Nor was Yellow Submarine.
No.
And nor was Red Balloon.
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
Red Balloon actually won the best short.
That's what I thought,
yeah.
And Blue Warmest Color was definitely nominated for Best Foreign Film, I'm sure, I would think. Anyway, I'm stretching it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So one note on Occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge, it was a silent movie, and it was made in France. It was based on an Ambrose Bierce short story, and it starts with a guy being hung during the Civil War, and the rope breaks. And as and he plummets to the water, he runs. He runs back to his home, and he sees his wife. He sees where he lived. At the moment he touches her, it's all been in his head. He's at the end of the noose, and he's dead. That was the surprise. He hasn't escaped at all. It's just what he imagined. It's a great little movie.
As a matter of fact, I actually remember them showing that in a class in junior high school or high school.
I showed it in my classes quite a lot, yeah. Good.
And then I saw it as a play when I was in the third grade. That's what they're showing third graders in Orlando.
How did they enact the...
Oh, they had a gallows up there and everything.
Worst dramatic choice in a long time. Yeah, really. Oh, the kids will love it.
Let's see. Kira, I think it's your turn.
Okay. One more movie question. The Guinness Book of World Records recognizes the 44-year creative partnership between what two romantically linked people as the longest in independent cinema history?
They on screen or off?
Off.
So is this the... Howard's End, yeah.
Oh, Ismael Merchant and...
Ivory?
Right.
Yeah.
James Ivory.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Right. 40, that's impressive, 44 years. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Okay. Approximately 50 miles outside of Tonopah, Nevada, is a place known as the McFarthest Spot. What is this place?
McFarthest Spot?
Yes, McFarthest Spot.
Is that the most remote McDonald's in the United States?
No.
Or the world?
No. Nope.
Is it the most remote distance from McDonald's
that is
in
correct.
The United
oh,
States?
There's right. the spot in the contiguous U.S. that is geographically farthest from any McDonald's location.
That's a clever name.
135 yeah. miles by car to Ely, Nevada.
Yeah. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, so we had two guesses for the movies with color. One is Purple Rain.
Oh, if only, but
really?
No.
Oh, too bad. Okay,
I agree.
Our next guess is Black Swan.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, very good.
Very nice.
All right, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Hi. Kira, a small correction, it's Ely, Nevada, not Ely.
Yeah, you know, as soon as I said that, I thought I was wrong because I remember that coming up in somebody's question to us like 2 months ago about a three-letter name in Nevada. So thank you,
airport.
Ely.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay, how about...
I only half learned from my mistakes. Only half.
Well, it's got a small population, so you're not fishing off too many people.
No. And a McDonald's.
And a McDonald's. Let's see, the Academy Award winning film with the... That's a stupid joke, I'm not going to do it. I will. Gandhi, Ottawa?
No, not Gandhi, Ottawa. But it's awesome
it
that
you... wasn't nominated.
No, I appreciate that you correctly cite Ottawa as the capital of Canada. So, kudos for that.
Nobel, but kudos.
How about Anne of Green Gables? Was that ever a movie that...
No.
It's been a movie, but it was never nominated for Best Picture.
No.
But The Red and the Black?
Nope.
Oh, good
Black Stendhal. Sunday?
Nope.
Shoot. let's see. The Sirius dedicated channels. How about Ella Fitzgerald?
Nope. She doesn't have a channel, and she should.
She should. How about James Brown?
James Brown does not have a channel either.
How about Buck Owens?
Buck Owens does not.
Are there any country people on it?
Yes.
Willie Nelson?
That's one of them.
Very good.
Willie's Roadhouse, Channel 59. Very
bell.
Nice. Very
That's
good.
Maybe the only bell I get. Nora Barnacle. Got Dr. Joseph Bell. I'll take a wild guess. Dr. Moreau?
Not Dr. Moreau.
Dr. Zhivago?
Not Dr. Zhivago. It wasn't somebody who was a doctor, or at least listed as a doctor.
Okay, and then the titles for the nominated Academy Award, the duplicate titles. How about All the King's Men?
No.
No, I don't know if the second one got nominated. Okay. How many other? Wings, I don't suppose, doesn't count.
No.
No.
Because the TV show never got nominated for Best,
for Best Picture.
Movie.
No.
Best Picture. Though it should have, I'm sure.
It's like the only award that Tony Shalhoub has never won.
Right. The UNESCO has this thing called Creative Cities, and in it they noted one city as the birthplace of, well, it's the birthplace of the first fusion cuisine. What cuisine is that?
The first fusion cuisine?
As in Korean and Southern barbecue, kind of that sort of fusion sort of thing?
That sort of fusion, exactly.
Well, does it also consider that Chinese restaurants throughout the world typically use ingredients from wherever they are and therefore taste different wherever you go?
Yeah, I would take that into consideration.
Is this city in California?
It is not.
Is it New York City?
It is not.
It is in the United States.
It is not.
Okay. All right.
Is it Japan's Chinatown or Tokyo's Chinatown?
Nope.
Okay.
Is it in Mexico?
It is not.
All right.
See, Tex-Mex should be award-winning because that's delicious.
It was before Tex-Mex, obviously.
Yeah.
But what century are we talking about?
15th.
Oh. So is this Italian and Chinese?
Noodles. Yes. Yeah, I think 16th. You're right.
Is it noodles?
16th, not 15th, 16th.
Is it pasta? But,
it is not Italian, no.
No, it's not Italian. Yeah. All right. But old.
Right.
I think predates Tex-Mex by quite a bit.
I think we'd just be guessing. So go ahead and tell us.
It is Macau.
Oh, because Portuguese and Chinese
and Portuguese.
Really?
Chinese and Portuguese.
Oh, that's
right.
Yep. And then one other question, if there's time.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure.
Since you brought up Stendhal, so I'll let you go ahead.
Oh, thanks. I saw a list of the 10 least visited national park sites in the United States.
Oh,
and these are for 2015 was the most recent I could find. Two of them are in California. Can you guess what those two are?
Visited national parks.
National park sites, so including monuments and historic sites.
Isn't there one that's near Death Valley someplace?
They're both in the Bay Area.
Wow.
So least visited, but in the Bay Area.
Not the Presidio.
I know.
Not the Presidio.
No.
But the national parks are in the Bay. Oh, is it an island? Is it like
Farallones? Yeah.
No.
Or the channel? Not the channel. That's, I think,
is it that they're hard to get to?
No. Well, one of them is hard to get to, but not because it's geographically isolated.
Not Alcatraz.
Alcatraz. It can't be Alcatraz.
No, not Alcatraz. Alcatraz
well
is probably
visited.
In the top.
Yeah.
One of them has definitely been mentioned on the show before.
Right. Bay Area.
And I'm sure you have to. Part of the caveat for being least visited for both of them is that you need reservations for.
Oh, is not Angel Island.
No. When I say reservations, meaning not same day, you have to make them probably a week or two in advance at least.
That would lead me to believe it's popular, but that's not, I'm not thinking right?
They're least visited. One is the ninth least visited, one is the third least visited.
Oh, you better tell us. Go ahead.
Well, one is an author, has to do with an author.
Oh, is this Jack London?
No.
Think
East Bay.
Eugene O'Neill?
Yes, the Eugene O'Neill House.
Eugene O'Neill House.
Really?
Very good.
Because you need to make reservations. Yeah. So it only had about 4,000 visitors in 2015.
Right.
And the other one is the Port Chicago Naval Magazine National Monument.
Okay.
It's up
on the naval base and commemorates the explosion.
Right.
Is that up near Concord? Is that where it is?
Yeah, it's on the Concord. It's actually on the naval base,
which is why
it's so few people ever visit it, because you have to get permission from the naval base to go to it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks so much. Great show.
All right. And let's see, Lori, I think you have a short question.
I do. I think. I heard this interesting podcast about the movie Die Hard, the classic Christmas movie Die Hard, and the role of John McCain, famously played by Bruce Willis, was turned down by Frank Sinatra. Okay? And Frank Sinatra was contractually obligated to be offered this part. How come?
Obligated.
So once again, John McCain, the part of John McCain played by, made Bruce Willis a movie star as opposed to TV star, was offered to Frank Sinatra, and it was offered to him, and he turned it down, obviously. It was a contractual obligation. What was the reason?
Did Sinatra own the rights to the story?
No.
Okay. Did he have first right of refusal for anything done by this director or story or author or anything like that?
You're in the right area. He had first right of refusal for. I want you to nail it down a little bit more than that.
All right, I have to look that over.
Yeah.
All right.
Kara?
No, I'm just trying to figure out if I had it. Because the original plot had him, like, saving his daughter, not his wife. And I don't even think it took place in L.A., did it?
I don't. In the original, I don't know.
Right.
It wouldn't have to do with that. It did have something to do with the character himself. Right. And.
Well, I mean, the character originally was a retired cop, so he was older.
That's correct.
But that's not what you're looking for.
Well, that's kind of getting in the area of first right of refusal. You're poking around the edges of it. If you think of Frank Sinatra's career in a way.
Is this a character he had played before?
Yes.
Right. So, did he play this character in the Detective?
He did.
But the Detective, oh, that took place in New York.
Well, that's the answer. When he played the Detective, and if there was going to be a sequel, it was in his contract that he'd be offered it.
All right.
So fast forward almost 20 years,
yeah,
and they changed the character's name, but it was the same character. His name in the original one, I have it here someplace, was the author was Roderick Thorpe. He wrote The Detective. Yeah. The main character was Detective Joe Leland. They changed his name to McCain. Sinatra is now 73 years old when they offered this part, so they had to do it as a formality, and he graciously said no, and then they offered it to the young Bruce Willis. So I thought that was a very interesting, a fun story.
And, all right, let me give you a quick question here. It's another Shakespeare question, since so many people have called in with another. And
they're lined up.
Who, let's see, what Shakespeare title character has the shortest part?
Measured by lines?
Yes.
My first reaction was thinking it was Macbeth. Is it?
No, not at all.
Okay, no? Okay, because he doesn't have... It's a short play.
Right.
Yeah.
But no.
Okay, and he dies and all that. Okay.
What Shakespeare title character has the shortest part? It's only 151 lines.
I'll bring back Timon of Athens.
Not Timon of Athens.
I want him to be the Utah of the Shakespeare question. Yeah. Only 151 lines.
That's it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I think King Lear has more than that.
Yeah, King Lear has a lot. Hamlet has the most, I think. All the Henrys have a lot.
And the
Richard has a lot.
Yeah.
So what Shakespeare title character has the shortest part? Only 151 lines.
Our audience is raising her hand to say Julius Caesar.
Julius Caesar is correct.
Oh, man.
Yes.
It's our best audience.
He dies halfway through the
play. That's true. Yeah.
And
Silence of the Lambs character, or the Red Dragon character's name is Jack, and I can't think of his last name. So
You got the right first name.
Oh, I know I do. It's killing me. So I'm hoping that Lori has seen this movie and can.
I have seen the movie.
Yeah.
Red Dragon. Is it also Manhunter? It's the same character. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's Jack.
And then he gets a shout out in Silence of the Lambs. He might even show.
No, he's got
it.
No, he's got.
There's a part.
Scott Glenn plays him.
Right. Yeah, because he's the one who brings Jodie Foster into the mix.
Yeah.
Right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter and Glenn Price.
Hey, Peter.
I really like the Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow reference in the introduction.
Yes.
I can think of one poor player who is strutting and fretting his hour upon the stage in Washington.
Yeah, exactly.
We should hope.
For verse Shakespeare, Richard II.
Yes, ooh. Richard II is probably the better known of the two plays, but the other one is well known.
I can't think of the other one. It must be pretty obscure.
Yeah, Richard II is one of the two Shakespeare plays written entirely in verse, not prose.
For movies with colors, what about Black Orpheus?
No.
I think that was nominated for Best Foreign Film.
I think so, too.
Not Best Picture.
Okay. And Dr. Joseph Bell was the model for Sherlock Holmes.
That is correct.
Oh.
Yes.
Nice.
And I have a question.
Yes.
What local institution was once located in San Francisco near the corner of Valencia and Cesar Chavez, or Army Street as it was then, until being moved during the winter of 1905-06, just in time to save it from the earthquake and fire?
Was it the... wait, did you say a full building?
Yes, it was a building.
It was a building, okay.
Yeah.
Was it a fortress?
No.
Was it... when you say it was moved, did it move out of San
Francisco? Yes, it moved to
Berkeley. Oh. In 1905. Wow. Is it on the Berkeley campus now?
It is.
It's not the Campanile, is
no.
it?
No.
It's in the
Berkeley. It's more of an institution than a building.
It's more of an institution than a building.
In fact, a library.
Oh, the Bancroft Library?
Yes.
The library itself?
Yes, the library was housed in San Francisco and just barely escaped the fire.
And at that time, was it associated with the University of California?
It was not.
Okay, so they moved it.
It was a private library that was bought by the university.
Nice.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good night.
Night. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Michelle in Richmond.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I have seen the movies with color, any of the metallic theme.
Yes, please.
Silver Lining Playbook.
That's one of them.
Oh, very good.
And then, going way back, on Golden Pond.
That's the other metallic.
Oh, great. All right, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you.
So golden counts as a color.
It does. I did
not
say
that
metallic.
I thought of it. Okay.
And it was being used as a color. And Jack Crawford.
And was
yes,
that right?
Jack Crawford is correct. Very good. I'm sorry, my attention was elsewhere. And all right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, are there any color movies left?
There is one color movie left.
Is it Red River?
Ooh, it's not Red River,
like that,
but
though.
It is a red movie.
Oh, because the other one I have nominated, blue, so forget about it.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, time to fill in the gaps. What do we got here?
Okay, the only color movie left is a 1935 piece called The Ruggles of Red Gap.
Oh, yeah.
All right, of the Academy Award winners, nominated for Best Picture, seven titles appear twice. We already had A Star Is Born, Cleopatra and Mutiny on the Bounty. We were missing Heaven Can Wait, Les Miserables, Moulin Rouge, and Romeo and Juliet. And finally, the name of an Academy Award nominated movie that's made up of a title of an Academy Award winning movie plus the name of a world capital. That's the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, very good. Very good. Yeah. And I like that movie a lot, too.
Me too.
It's a good movie.
On the Sirius Radio that have music channels, the ones that we should have gotten were B.B. King's Bluesville, Garth Channel for Garth Brooks, Ozzy's Boneyard for, of course, Ozzy Osbourne, Pitbull's Globalization. I'm sure you're a big fan of Pitbull. And what I don't know is Diplo's Revolution. So who's Diplo? Is that a woman?
Producer guy.
Oh, okay. So there are. So back to the question about gender. All dudes.
All dudes.
All dudes.
All right. And let's see. The only two Shakespeare plays written entirely in verse, not prose, Richard II and King John. The only Dickens character to have a street named after them in London, the street's name is Manette Street, as in Lucy Manette.
I remember Lucy.
Lucy Manette was the heroine, sort of Tale of Two Cities. The literary character is based on real people. Theodore Sturgeon was used as a model by Vonnegut for Kilgore Trout.
Really?
Oh.
He liked the fish analogy there, apparently. Johnny Douglas, of course, was Jack Crawford in the Silence of the Lambs. Leon Trotsky was the model for Snowball, the pig, in Animal Farm.
I did not know that. I didn't see that coming.
And Stalin was Napoleon. Anyway, if we did not get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. My thanks to our panel tonight, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher from Diablo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David Latulipe and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody, and we hope you will join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. We look forward to that. Bye-bye.
If it ain't this, you can't miss. It's got to be you, brother. Can't you see it's got to be one way or the other?